we went for a rest time after the lunch, but I discovered that God was not at rest until he brought a precious soul to himself, just to show us how God loves the souls. An Islamic teacher in Al-Azhar in Egypt. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Al-Azhar, it is the greatest Islamic seminary that graduated radical Muslims like Osama bin Laden and Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And this teacher, I've been working with him for the past 3 months. And he sent me a text message via Messenger, Brother Ishmael. I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Beloved, how we can praise God that he is at work. He is in the business of saving precious souls. And the imam that I talked to you about yesterday, last night, the one who was in charge of 200 mosques, even he phoned me even after that. And he said, Brother Ishmael, we're doing fine. We're going out for the Lord in the state we're in, right here in the United States. Beloved, how we can thank God. Not only he's saving souls, but he is establishing those souls. And we can be very thankful. Again, I'm thankful for the opportunity to share my testimony, which if I want to give it justice, it will take about an hour and 15 minutes, and I only have 15 minutes. And you wouldn't like this. I set my timer to 15 hours. So we'll leave that alone. We'll go back to the manual clock here. Or watch. So I'll be more than willing and ready and delighted to come to your assemblies, anywhere you are, to come and share my testimony. Not only that, to do workshops and training seminars, three aspects maybe: how to reach Muslims for Christ, and how to answer the most difficult questions that the Muslim scholars that they throw at us, and they copy it sadly all from Zakir Naik and Ahmad Didat, and it's all phonies. And by God's grace, we can answer all those phony questions. Three verses, beloved. John 15:16, the Lord Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Please keep that in mind. Galatians 4:9, but when you came to know God, or rather, were known by God. Keep that in mind. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. From these three verses, beloved, I did not choose God. I did not know God, and I did not love God, but rather he chose me and he knew me and he loved me. Beloved, I'm standing here as a living example to show you how God can bring a person who was filthy in his sins, who was dark and lost in the darkness of Islam, but also indulging himself in the filthiness of sin. But also, while I was a Muslim, I became an atheist, because the image portrayed in the Quran, you want to run away from it when you start thinking seriously and honestly and sincerely. You don't want anything to do with Allah of the Quran. I was born in Saudi Arabia in 1970. 1973, brought back home to Lebanon. My mom and dad were Muslim, Shiite Muslim. Dad stayed in Saudi Arabia until I became 12 years of age. I hardly saw my dad. He was back in Saudi Arabia working, and he would visit in Lebanon for a month, and out of the month, I would see him for only a few hours. You can say I was brought up fatherless. My mom took care of us. And I thank God for my mom. She's very close to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Before we came down here, I was talking to her on the phone, and she said, for the first time ever, Christ be with you, son. She is very close to come to know the Lord. Please keep her in your prayers. My mom, she was the reason for our Islamic upbringing. We were eight. I was the oldest among four brothers and three sisters. I remember at 7 years of age, I was fasting, or I was praying my five Islamic prayers. At the age of eight, I was fasting Ramadan. I would read the Quran and I would tell mom, I don't know what's going on here. She said, I will get you some kind of a commentary. I grew up to memorize portions of the Quran, not understanding anything. At the age of 13, I start using my mind. What am I doing? Here I am, I'm praying and asking Allah to forgive me, but I just committed so much horrible sins and about to commit other sins. It didn't work. God is all forgiving. But at the same time, if you don't pray, God will throw you in hell. If you lie, God will throw you in hell. If you do these things, God will throw you in hell. I hated the image of God. I was afraid of Him. Is this what you want so I don't go to hell? Okay, I'm going to be doing my prayers. I'm going to be fasting Ramadan. I'm going to be doing this and that. Just stay away from me. Don't take what you know about God for granted. Don't take it for granted. This blessed book, the Bible, don't take it for granted. I hated the Bible. I hated the cross. I hated the Christians while I was a Muslim. And I have a lot to share, but don't have time. Anyway, at the age of 14, I sat with an imam, and he told me, your dilemma, I couldn't reconcile between the forgiveness of Allah and then the brutality of His punishment. I couldn't reconcile it. It's only reconciled in the cross of the Lord Jesus, beloved. By the time I did not know it. And here I am in one verse in the Quran. Know that God, know that Allah is all merciful. And know that He is severely will punish the sinners. In one verse. But there's no reconciliation. Immediately after that, after the raging feeling of guilt that was swifting over my conscience and my mind, I could not take it in. And I decided, there's no God. If there's a God, He will not leave me suffer. He will take my feeling of guilt away. He will give me meaning for life. From the age of 15 until 18 or 19, I was living godless life. No God. And if there's a God out there, He doesn't care about me. Joined the American University of Beirut. But before that, when I was 12, I saw the movie Jesus of Nazareth in Lebanon, in Beirut. After I saw the movie, when the Lord was on the cross, I asked myself this question, why they are killing Jesus? If I ask what's your name?
Judah.
Why did the Lord Jesus die on the cross? See that? How old are you?
11.
I was 12, and I was a Muslim, and I asked that question, and he didn't get an answer. Don't take what you know of the Lord Jesus for granted. Don't. I asked this question, why did the Lord Jesus die? No answer. At the age of 18, I joined the American University of Beirut. And then there was a verse. You saw the picture yesterday. A portion from a verse from John 10:10, that they may have a life and have it more abundantly. And I asked myself this question. Who is he talking here? Who is he talking to? What's this better life he was talking about? I needed that life. Beloved, the Lord Jesus is life itself. The Lord Jesus is the author of life and eternal life. Only Him. I did not know that. Two questions. Why the Lord Jesus died? And who said those words? And there was no reference. I let it go. Many assassinations, wars. My own friends died before my own eyes. And here I am. I'm an agnostic, atheist, godless, whatever you want to name me. And then all of a sudden, I ended up here on the shores of the United States of America. I couldn't even dream that I would be here. But God made a way when there was seems to be no way. And how I thank God that He always makes a way. Came here to finish my study in pharmacy, which I didn't. Passed my TOEFL immediately. And then God had different plans, worked in a place, and then here I am trying to live a godly life now, religious life, so the report could go back to Lebanon. Your son is doing okay. And living at the same time in open debauchery, horrible, filthy life of sin. And then I was living in the midst of this contradiction. A person came up to me and he said, Ishmael, I got something for you. He gave me a Bible in Arabic here in Detroit, Michigan. I took it in. But I did not read it. I wanted to prove him wrong. So you're giving me a Bible, and this Bible is corrupted. Beloved, this Bible is the Word of God. If God gave it, He is responsible and able to keep it and to preserve it. Not for a man that will show up 600 years later to tell us that the Bible is corrupted. No, this is the Word of God. By the time I start reading for Ahmad Didat, and then I went and I throw 17 contradictions at that person. That person, you know what he did? He introduced me to a man of God. Who was he? An evangelist. And then I start visiting with him. I knew that he was a former Muslim. I was about to beat him down. How could you forsake the religion of Allah? How could you go after those phony Christians? How could you worship the cross? A lot of misconceptions that we had about Christians and Christianity. And then all of a sudden, this person, you know what he did? Before we would go into arguments, before we go into discussions, before he would answer all my misconceptions, he opened his arms. He gave me a hug, a bear hug, Sam. He gave me a bear hug. He opened his heart, his life, his family for me. He showed me love. Beloved, we're not going to win people through intellectual discussions and arguments. We're going to win them by our love and the holy life we live. This is how we can win people. And prayers, knees. And then this person, for 6-7 months, he showed me the love of Jesus. The love of the Lord Jesus manifested in his life and his family life. He shared with me everything that I needed to know, and I rejected. And he started sharing with me the shameful biography of Muhammad. I was in shock. I was in denial. And then I told him, you know what? I don't want anything to do with you. That night. And I praise God. Tonight I'm standing here, and I thank you, Lord. It's been exactly 26 years since I came to know the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I praise him. He's a God of faithfulness. And that evening of June 1992, I opened my window for the first time ever. I was 22 and a half. I opened the window. It was a starry night. And I talked to God for the first time. God, if you're there, I want to know you. You can tell him that today. You can tonight. You've been brought up in the assemblies, in Christian home. You know of him. You know about him. But you don't know him. I pray that tonight you will come to know him as Lord and Savior. So I told him, here you are. If you're there, I want to know you. Beloved, I'm going to give an account for what I'm about to say before the judgment seat of Christ. A still small voice inside of me, in my own language in Arabic, اقرأ الكتاب المقدس. Read the Bible. I was alone in my bedroom and in my room, and I looked around. There was no one. And then, again, read the Bible. I get a hold of the Bible. And I don't suggest you read your Bible this way. And I open it like this. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This was in the beginning with God. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I set my Bible aside and I looked back to heaven and I said, are you the Christ? How would I come up to such a conclusion? Because if you ask any Muslim, who is Christ to you? He's the Word of Allah. He's the Word of God. And here I am, I'm finding in the Bible, and the Word of God is God himself. And when I asked that question, are you the Christ? Unspeakable peace filled my heart. And I was burdened with all my sins, and I was released of it. The next day, I went to the pastor's house. And then, when they saw me, they knew that something took place. They were praying. They prayed for me. And then, there I saw myself, the reality of myself, a horrible sinner, deserving nothing but the wrath of God and the judgment of God. And I said, God, I deserve to be thrown in hell the way I am. And all of a sudden, the image of the cross from the movie, Jesus of Nazareth, that I saw 10 years ago back in Beirut from the movie, flashed in front of my own eyes, and I saw the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for me. God is saying, yes, you deserve hell, but my son died on the cross for you that you may go to hell. You may not go to hell. And then I bowed down and I gave him my heart. Beloved, it's been 26 years. 26 years, and today is even the best days of those days of my years. I'm going to leave you with this thought here. Life is short, shorter than you can think. Death is sure. It's inescapable. Eternity is long. Longer than you can think. Living in sin is destructive. The wages of sin, listen to this, it's not good works. It's not good intentions. It's not being born in an assembly home, a Christian home. It is not going to church. It's not being at this conference. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. You want to hear the good news? Your soul is precious. Your soul is so precious to God that he gave his only begotten son for you. The gospel is glorious. The gospel is powerful and can set you free from all your sins. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Come to him as you are. Don't delay. Thank you.